I can hear you like normal. You just don't sound well.
Yeah.
Oh,
We've really been looking forward to this, so I apologize for my voice. The universe
no
was
worries.
like, "Oh, she's so excited. Let's give her laryngitis."
No, you sound very like intriguing, and it's good
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
where we have absolutely no fucking chill because we're
No chill,
talking,
no voice,
no chill and no
nothing.
voice. Because we are talking to Victoria freaking Aveyard.
If I could go back
No.
and tell like my 22-year-old self, she wouldn't believe it.
Insane,
Maybe not
insane.
22, maybe a little older. I don't know. I can't math.
It's okay.
I am Mandy of Madrence.
Oh, and I'm Karen of All Word.
Hey, we're close. Isn't Allward in Madrence?
I think All Word is the whole, like the whole place, the whole realm. And Madrence is one of
Oh,
the
one
cities.
of the things. Okay.
I
I
think
was thinking
so.
that Allward was a city. I've got this show dog. He's very clingy since I'm sick.
That's
And but he
fair.
can't very clingy, but he can't decide. Lap, floor.
Well, that's normal for him.
I'm gonna have another meltdown. I can feel it.
It'll be great. It was hilarious last time.
Oh my God.
In the meantime, I'm here to tell y'all that in our timeline, it is February 21st. And unfortunately, in your timeline, it is March 1st. I
That
don't
is so
understand
weird.
how. That seems like fake news,
Well, by the
but.
time you're listening, I'll almost have a new washer and dryer.
In theory.
I was supposed to have one on the 24th, but no, they changed it to March 5th.
Rude.
Lowe's.
Actually, so rude.
So rude.
This week in fangirling, what'd you do?
So I finished. I'm so sorry, you guys. I've been like trying to be on vocal rest so that I could talk to Victoria freaking Aveyard. And the universe was like, we're gonna let you do it. You're just gonna sound like a crazy person while you do it. I feel fine. I have a cough and five medications and no voice. Anyways, I finished Blade Breaker by Victoria Aveyard. And I've been working on Fate Breaker. I'm almost halfway done. Obviously, more on those later, but not too much more on those because we're in spoiler territory at
Oh,
this
yes,
point.
so many spoilers.
Yeah, we really can't tell you a lot.
Yeah.
I've been, because I was supposed to get a new washer and dryer, I've been like organizing my laundry room because this one's a little bit bigger. So we have to like, I had shelves like literally touching it. So I had to like reconfigure and get rid of a lot of stuff. So while I was like organizing, I decided to paint because I had some cans of paint left. I listened to Infinity Sun by Adam Silvera. So you have twins, Emil and Brighton, and their brothers growing up in New York City. Brighton's a YouTuber and he is dead set on growing his following. And Emil is just kind of along for the ride. He carries the tripod, he's like the best brother.
Oh.
Both of them are one of us in that they are fangirls for the Spellwalkers, which is this like vigilante group of celestials that have vowed to rid the world of specters. So you have
Okay.
the celestials who are born with power and specters who take that power, usually from like an endangered creature of some sort.
Okay.
So they go find something that's endangered and helpless and they take from it violently so that they can have powers. So we've got these brothers, they're convinced that when they turn 18, their power is going to manifest. They're going to join in the fighting for Brighton and like put an end to the fighting for Emil because Emil is more like the pacifist. They go to this protest and they're filming, of course, and they leave and a fight breaks out and they're kind of involved in it and something happens and Emil's power breaks free. And so he's thrown like into the middle of the Spellwalkers, which is what Brighton has always wanted for himself.
Oh
But it's
boy.
Emil that it happens to. Because of this power, Emil learns some secrets about himself, his relationships, especially with his family, and like a past that he's never known. So you've got, I think I did an audiobook and I want to say there were four narrators.
Based
There's
on
like
what I know, I believe you're correct.
Yeah,
Because I
well,
think
I
it's
mean like four audio separate audiobook narrators. Oh,
got it.
Four humans read this book instead of like one author or one narrator swapping back and forth. You get a ton of POVs. There's like a heist situation, which I'm always surprised at how much I love a heist. Like, I don't know. Like, if you asked me 5 years ago, how do you feel about a heist? I'd be like, I don't care. But like Six of Crows, like all of it. I love a heist. It's a solid YA urban fantasy. So don't expect like Realm Breaker, you know, with a completely different world. Like, this place takes place in New York City.
Right.
I really liked it. And I read it in like a few hours because, of course, I listened to it sped up and I was working. So the time flew by. I started Infinity Reaper today, which is book two. I just didn't get very far because I had a really hectic work day that I had to like focus on. It wasn't like one of those work days where you kind of can zone out and do your work and listen. So I had to turn it off pretty quickly because you want to focus your whole brain on this book. But yeah, I'm really excited. I had started Infinity Sun sometime last year. And for I think I picked.
I remember you mentioned it.
Yeah, I feel like I picked up something, like there was something coming out that I was more excited about. So I, or like more looking forward to, because I am excited about this book. It was good. So I actually like read through the whole thing and paid attention. And I'm really glad that I reread it, because I wouldn't have made it through in any part of Infinity Reaper. I would have forgotten anything. And I think other than cough and clean and sleep and medicate, I haven't done anything. What did you do this week?
Mine's also been a pretty slow week. I also finished Blade Breaker by Victoria Aveyard, and I'm behind you in Fate Breaker. I'm about 150 pages in to like a 640 page book. So I'm doing that. And then the only other thing that I read is Eva Evergreen, Semi-Magical Witch by Julie Abe. It has been my daughter's bedtime storybook for the past several weeks because we read about a chapter a night. And I see Eva because that's how it's spelled, but the audiobook narrator pronounces it Eva Evergreen. So I guess I should probably start saying it correctly.
Is it EVA?
EVA.
That's how Eva Mendez spells her name, and it's Eva. Is it?
I've always pronounced that Eva, so it's like a switch for me.
But I think it can be either way. I think probably that some people do use Eva.
So Eva is the daughter of her mom is like a grandmaster in the, I guess, I don't know how to explain it. It's not like a coven, like there's witch, oh, it's a council, right? And so they have witches, and there's very few witches in, you know, their realm that they're in. And so Eva has become of age and now has the opportunity to go on her novice witch quest, which is good because she's been excited about it, but like there is a particular member of the council, and as well as this council member's nephew, who think that Eva should not be allowed to go on her quest because she only, as Eva puts it, she only has a pinch of magic and isn't as strong as other witches.
A pinch of magic is still a pinch.
Exactly. And I mean, that's kind of the lesson that she has to learn throughout this book, is that just because she only has a pinch of magic doesn't mean she can't make a difference. And so she does end up going on her novice witch quest, which sends her off to the city of Outry, where she has to convince the leader. I don't know if I think she is a mayor, the mayor of Outry, to let her stay there and be their like city's witch for one moon while she's on her quest. And she has to basically like help the town and leave it a better place than when she found it, and help them protect them from something called the Culling, which sounds to me like it's like major, like
sounds sinister.
It does sound sinister, but the way that it's described is kind of like a huge natural disaster, but it's not natural. Like, it's, imagine if like Hurricane Katrina, but somebody made that happen, kind of thing. So it's like the thing itself is like a natural disaster, but it is not happening naturally.
It was caused by somebody else.
And so Ava is spending her time trying to figure out, like, how do I protect Autry from the culling? And they think that they're going to get warning, you know, before it comes. So she's just racking her brain, basically trying to figure out how she's going to pass her novice witch quest to get her novice witch license, and also to protect this town that she is starting to fall in love with, because she's been there. She's been with these people, and, you know, everybody knows everybody. And so she's really dead set on trying to protect them. And it ends on like a cliffhanger. And it's like, and it's to, and it's not even one of those where it's like, okay, this, I mean, like, this is finished, but like, it's very clear there's a second book. Like, when the last chapter, I don't know if it's the last chapter or the epilogue, but when that played, my daughter and I were both like, what? She literally, covered her mouth. She's like, like, she was so shocked. Like, what? So I have a sneaking suspicion we will be starting book two very shortly. Unfortunately, it's not in audiobook for some reason, but we do have the paperback. So I will be reading it. Not as cool as an audiobook narrator, but I'll do my best.
Hey, moms are the coolest.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
To their kids are the coolest.
And that is, I mean, I finished How You Get the Girl, which was excellent, as I knew it was going to be. But that was pretty much my week. I didn't do a whole lot this week.
That's okay. Sometimes we need slow weeks. I needed a slow week.
I feel like February is like, I feel like this last year, like last year, February was really slow. And this year, February is really slow. Like, I'm not reading as much as I normally do, which is not a problem. I'm just like, that's interesting that that happens around the same time.
You just want a break.
Yeah.
I mean, not a break from reading, but like, but
sometimes you just need to like touch grass.
I hate the trend of people like every year. I think I have started with like a lower reading goal because like I hate the I have to beat last year mentality. It's like, it's a hobby. It doesn't have to be a race.
Right.
It's something that you're doing for fun. You don't have to make it stressful on yourself. So if you don't feel like reading today, here's your permission. You don't have to read. Listeners, if you want to take the month of February off from reading and just be a vegetable and rot on your couch, I've been doing that. I've been doing that.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
For sure. So that's where I'm at.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
Do I ever?
We're going to arm wrestle.
I'm so sorry to inform everybody, but I have found my soulmate and his name is Andrew Trollin.
the love of
my life.
Sweet angel.
I am so obsessed with him. I love him so much.
I know.
And you were like, Kalorn and Andrew are the same person. Like, I'll fight you. I'm like, different of course not. Like, I believe you. I agree with that. Oh my God, do I love him. So
I agree.
Andrew. My heart.
I said Andrew and Charlie Armand. I love Charlie too. I don't know. Something about Charlie. You won't get this yet. Charlie reminds me of Aiden from Throne of Glass. Aiden, how some people say it. And I am an Aiden apologist. A lot of people don't like him. I feel like he was done very wrongly. Mm-hmm. And I think that his reaction to things were appropriate. Like, given the things that are done to him. And I don't know why Charlie gives me Aiden vibes, but I just love him. I just cannot help it. I'm just like, give me that baby. I want to protect you. I'll make sure nothing gets you, sweet little angel.
Love. Yeah. I'm so nervous reading Fatebreaker. I'm just so nervous because I don't trust anything. I don't trust anything.
I don't trust this woman at all.
After that book one, like, surprise. I trust nothing. Yeah. I trust nothing. I'm so nervous.
And the no, I don't think so. In Red Queen, like, one thing about Victoria Aveyard is she is going to like take what, because a lot of times, like, you know what's going to happen in a book, and it's okay. It's not like this book sucks because I can see what's happening.
Right.
Like, you kind of want to have that control over, like,
right.
Whatever. Oh, she's gonna let you think, you know. And then she's going to turn your life upside down. And I'm so glad you finally got on the train with me.
I'm
Like, I'm
so,
so
so
glad.
nervous. Andre is the love of my life, and I
Yeah.
will be taking no questions.
You know,
I
I'm
posted
gonna tell
something
Kalorn you
today.
said that.
I posted something today and I was just like, oh, I hit my table. I was like, so you're telling me I'm supposed to like exist in real life and date real men when fictional men like Calorne Warren and Andrew Trolland exist? I think not. I think
I
not.
mean, I got lucky in that I got married before I read Shatter Me, because had I read that monologue before dating, I would, like, my standards would have been
Astronomical.
astronomical. I got a good one. I'll keep mine. But yeah.
Yeah. So, fictional boyfriend Andrew Trellin this week and
I
forever.
had two, Andrew and Charlie, my sweet babies.
Love
I
them.
just want to keep them both safe.
Yes, facts. That sound means we have an intruder
I
alert.
cannot
You
believe this. I
guys.
might throw up. I might
This
throw up.
is insane. I can't believe I'm about to say these words. But we have Victoria Aveyard on the podcast.
Woo! I'm here.
Hi.
Welcome.
Before we get started, I have to tell you the story of how this kind of like was fated.
Yeah,
Because
for real.
for reals, about in January 19th, 2023,
Ooh.
Mandy said casually threw out some names. She was just like, Robbie Couch, Victoria Aveyard, come join us on the podcast. January 19th of this year was when we confirmed the date for
Yay,
you
I
to
had
come
that
on.
with you.
We were like,
Yeah.
wait, this
Oh,
is
that's so
insane.
cool. That's like kismet. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Now you need.
we have.
Have you had on yet, or is he in the works?
We've had Robbie,
Okay.
and we have secrets.
Okay. We're potentially closing in on, I guess, it's not bingo, great, Chantel. You're like getting your exes.
The trifecta. So we're very excited that you're here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. And I don't know when this is going to air, but this is right before I go on tour for Fatebreaker. So I
Yeah.
feel like I'm in a really safe, fun space to kind of warm up for tour and talk about
Yeah.
tours and like be with other people.
Yeah. So normally or the first thing we ask our guest is to kind of give us an elevator pitch of the book, but this is, you know, book three of a trilogy.
Right.
So it's I feel like it's hard to do that without
I
spoilers. So if you
know.
want to
I
give
always, yeah, I default to talking about the series sort of as a whole. And I feel like if I can hook you with the idea of the series and the first book, then it'll be time to tell
Yes.
you the third one. So the way that I talk about Realmbreaker, I like to say it's Lord of the Rings meets Guardians of the Galaxy. I was sort of intrigued by this question of what would happen if like the Fellowship failed to destroy the ring and who would be the JV team of saving the world. You know, the A team didn't cut it. Who's the B team and what does that look like? And I love examining the idea of people who aren't the usual heroes being forced to be heroes. And I also, in regards to Realmbreaker and then Lord of the Rings specifically, like I grew up a fan fiction nerd. I was very much reading like Lord of the Rings fan fiction when I was a teenager. And I wrote a lot of it too, but you'll never find it. It's all gone. And when it came time for me to think about what next book I wanted to write after Red Queen, I had a lot of luck with that series. And I had a publisher who basically was like, what do you want to write next? And I thought, well, what did I want to read when I was a young adult reader? Like when I was that age, what was I pursuing? What was I looking for? What was I not finding? And I thought about my fan fiction. And I thought about all these stories that I loved that didn't feel like they loved me back or like didn't have space for me in them. And I know I am not alone in that feeling. You know, Lord of the Rings, unless you're a straight white guy, you're really not on the adventure. So I kind of figured like, oh my God, maybe now I'm like writing books now. I have a publisher asking me, what do I want to write? And I'm thinking maybe this is my chance to sort of write my version of that fantasy adventure that I always wanted to be a part of. So Realmbreaker was born. And it's very much about a bunch of misfits and criminals and sort of ne'er-do-wells
who have to save the world because they don't want to die.
Yeah. I mean, I
love that description.
Me, so.
I feel like an entire generation of people will just be like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sign like, me up. Okay.
Because like you said, if you're not a straight white guy, like,
yeah,
you're not being represented there. But everybody, like, I don't know anybody who didn't like Lord of the Rings, you know?
Right. No. So you know, it's and like, I agree. I totally agree. And there are some people who are like, oh, how can you, you know, say that this thing you love didn't give you something? It's like, no, it's okay to be like, yeah, I love this so fully. I was so obsessed. Like, me and my friend had a Legolas shrine in one of our closets.
You
can also look at the things you love and want more from them. I think that's totally fine. And like part of growing up and part of media literacy. We don't just sit there and say everything is a perfect 10 all the time. It can be a perfect 10 and need something else too. That's totally fine.
Yes.
Well, I can confirm that the next generation loves you. I have my twin nieces live with me. They just turned 15. And it's been like a year ago. One of their friends called them and she answers on speakerphone and all of their friends call me Aunt Mandy. So she says, are you with Aunt Mandy? And my niece says, yes. And she says, put her on the phone. And she was reading Red Queen.
Oh my
she
God.
She needed somebody to scream about it with. And she called me.
Yay. Oh, I'm glad that you guys got to have a nice scream. That is the best thing.
I know. So now I'm like going to get her started on Realmbreaker.
Oh, good. But it is really cool because Red Queen came out 9 years ago. And you sort of think, you know, when a series ends, it's sort of over. And one of the cool things about social media right now, especially like Book Talk, Bookstagram, is a lot of books are being brought back or they're finding new audiences. And so when I get people who are like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm just starting your books, I'm like, please do not apologize.
You're here.
The coolest thing that you're still finding them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just binged all of Red Queen recently and I was just like live reacting to Mandy. I'm like,
I live for it.
Okay. It was great.
We're both Killorn girlies.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, listen, why do I have to live in a world where Killorn Warren and Andrew Trelin don't exist?
Oh yeah, I saw
like the actual loves of my life.
It was on
Instagram. Yeah.
Yes, that was it. I'm like, which platform?
I was just like, I don't want to live without them.
No.
I was so anxious. I'm still anxious. Like, I haven't quite finished Fatebreaker yet. So I'm like, I don't trust her. I don't trust that Victoria lady.
We're nervous.
He wasn't my husband at the time, but that major injury that Killorn takes in Warstorm, I definitely had my then friend walk me through how I would do that from a medical standpoint. And that was my version of flirting.
I love that, so much.
It worked.
Hey.
You got three. You knocked him down.
Yep. Did it. Okay. So you have some one-liners, especially in this series, that like just are murderous. So for example, you say, you can't die with glory if there's no one left to remember your name.
Mm-hmm.
How do these come to you? Do they come to you like while you're writing or do they come to you at 3 a.m. and you're like, put that in a book?
It's a little bit of both. So I remember for Red Queen too, I really did this. I had a document where I would just write down quotes that, like you said, kind of struck you in the middle of the night or you're doing something totally different and you think, oh my God, and you think that line. And then you sort of wonder, how do I get that line in there? What does that line mean? What is it? How does it relate to this person? Because I know who it's coming from when I hear like a line in my head. And then sometimes it's totally organic and you're just deep in the scene and you're writing the lines as they go. For me, when I'm drafting dialogue, especially a dialogue heavy scene, I will just write the dialogue almost like it's a script. And then I will go back and fill in the like he said or she paced or the just sort of the directionals will be added later. But that way I can keep the pace of like an actual conversation and really game it out in my mind as people would actually talk. Because sometimes you're reading a book and you're reading the dialogue and you're like, this is so weird. Like people don't speak like this. Even something that's, you know, older or medieval or has more of a historical bend, there's still some lines you read where you're like, that line sucks. And a lot of the times I think it comes from word of writing it the way that you would, you know, type every other word as opposed to writing it the way a conversation flows. So that helps a lot. But then my good lines, sometimes they're inspiration in the middle of the night and sometimes they're just in the moment.
Yeah.
And write the line and you feel your fingers tapping the keys and you see the line kind of start to form and you're like, oh my God, I'm really good at this. And then don't do anything else for 6 hours and go back to beating yourself up.
You answered one of my questions in there. I was going to ask if you write, because you studied screenwriting, right?
Yeah.
Did you, I was going to ask if you write like scripts and then fill it in. So that's cool to know.
Yeah. One of the other things I think even more so than drafting dialogue that I think I've taken from my screenwriting background into writing prose and fiction, specifically YA. I think this is why I do YA very well, or why I gravitate towards YA, is because in screenwriting, pace is super important. You want the reader to be flipping each page as fast as possible. You're trying to keep as much white space on the page as possible. You're writing for people who don't really read. So you need to keep up the momentum very, very much. And I think that's the beauty of YA. I've discussed this before with other people on social media, and there's all of that conversation of like, why do people want spice in YA, or what are adults going to YA for, and then being mad they're not finding. I think the thing that people really connect to in YA, regardless of the age of the reader, is the pace. And so when they go to like romanticy and there's the whole, oh, it's YA but with spice, I don't think it's the young character that the people are looking for. It's the pace of the work. And it's sort of that propulsive, you cannot stop turning the page and we're never slowing down and there's never sort of an opportunity to get bored. And I love writing like that. I love writing for that sort of attention span, because that's the attention span I have. And that's what we were taught in screenwriting. You know, if a scene lasts longer than 3 pages, you're doing something wrong. And so I always kind of carry that in the back of my head, and I'm always trimming for movement, even down to what the page looks like. I definitely have times where I look at a page and I think that page is going to look super intimidating to the eyeball. How do we break that up? So you're like psychologically making the person push forward. Because if you see a big block of text, it doesn't matter if that's the most beautiful paragraph in the world, someone's eye is going to glaze over it.
Yeah, they're going to speed read past it.
Kind of break it up and bring in that white space. I think George R. R. Martin does that too. And he also has a background in screenwriting.
I love that. I'm like,
that's really cool to think about. I've never really thought about it.
I have so many little tricks that have nothing to do with writing to make people keep reading my book.
This is like a masterclass in writing. Like,
I know.
I didn't prepare for this at all.
That's okay, because that's on brand for the podcast.
Yeah.
We named it incoherent film girl.
Yes, exactly.
So I listened to the first two books on audiobook. I'm now reading Fatebreaker, physically reading it. And I'm getting a lot of names that I did not spell correctly in my head. I'm like, I hesitated ever texting Mandy like reactions, because I was like, I don't know how to spell anybody's name. So is there, because I've asked a couple people how do they pronounce Demacreon, and when I explain it to them, they're like, oh, that sounds Gaelic. I'm like, is that like, did you pull from different languages to get these together?
A little bit. There are definitely flavors of a lot of different languages depending on the character and their culture and language base. For Demacreon specifically, yes, I pulled from Scottish Gaelic. My mom is from Scotland. So that was the one that I really, and I have an uncle, or like not a blood uncle, but an uncle who has scolded me multiple times for mixing up Gaelic and Gaelic. So I'm always like, Gaelic, because my uncle will yell at me. But anyways, that was sort of the flavor. But at the same time, you want to kind of make it your own. And in using the names and using the languages, that is another trick. So you don't exactly like invent languages. I'm not Tolkien. I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm not a linguist. What I do is I make a list of which letters each language would use more than other letters. So like this language does not use C, they use K. So I want a reader's eye to be able to identify when they're reading, not necessarily an audiobook, but I want them to see by the end of that first book, if they see a name, they kind of have an inkling of where that person is from already, just on the way it's spelled and what letters are being used. And then with Demacreon specifically, I came into it same as Cal, where I was like, I know I want him to have a longer, bigger name that other people shorten and use as a nickname. For Cal, it was more like, oh, that's attractive. And for Dom, it was more of, I'm satirizing a little bit that Lord of the Rings thing where you have those names that are really intimidating and look like a little too long. And then the other characters in the world of the story are like, I'm giving you a nickname. Yeah. That those kind of reactions, that like realist inside the unreal world, makes it more believable. So you have all these extraordinary things, and I'm working as hard as I can to make you believe that it's ordinary. And that's another one of my like little tools is to make the characters call out when something's ridiculous or when something is strange to them. And then you don't feel like, oh, wait, this thing is intimidating.
Yeah, I'm the weirdo.
Feel stupid. They are also like in world, he is still separate and apart in this way.
You make the characters like relatable because
this
bigger than life person is still.
Right. It's all weird. About making that's the reader dumb. Believe the story because it's unbelievable. But as soon as the reader is kind of jarred out of that suspension of disbelief, it's really, really hard to get them back. So I'm always doing everything I can to make you keep believing the world exists.
Yeah.
And having characters call out extraordinary things helps a lot. So like a character like Sarasa was so helpful in maintaining that sort of, you know, we can get really, really high and then she brings you right back to reality. Yeah,
I love her. And I don't know if this is a weird millennial thing. I don't, y'all could tell me or not. Every time I hear her name, I also think Michael Skarn.
Okay,
I wonder what those two would look like.
And I love it.
I want to see these two together.
Okay, so we're going to send her on a mission to Scranton, Pennsylvania.
I guess it was because I was doing the audiobook and like, I don't know.
I am really interested in the experience of audiobook versus reading because I think this series, specifically Realmbreaker, is a bit more difficult than the reading experience.
It definitely is like you need to, because a lot of times when I'm listening to an audiobook, I will be working on something else.
Right.
With this one, you have to be a little bit more tuned into it.
Be involved.
Yeah.
I was listening to the TikTok series that just blew up this week from Risa Tisa.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I listened to that I went on a long walk today and I listened to it for like 2 hours. And that's absolutely something where you're like, oh my God, I'm so engaged, but I also can do other things at the same time. Yeah. Whereas some books, I feel like if I was listening to them on audiobook and I was driving a car, I'd be off the road immediately, or I'd miss everything. So that's interesting. So you get to have both, and now you actually get to have a map available to you to look at. Must have been
speaking
so
of maps. Speaking of maps, okay, I've been in the room where you've talked about this before, and it literally like changed the way. Yeah, I was with you in Atlanta with Tiffany D. Jackson and y'all.
Fun.
Yeah,
she's great. Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, she was. You asked her how she pronounced Demacreon, and she was like, "No." But anyways, you said something about maps that like changed how I look at fantasy maps. So can you tell our listeners about like the importance of the trade system in water sources and maps while I hold up?
I'm like blushing. It's so nerdy.
But like the most gorgeous map I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. So I did like the original, and then we had this wonderful artist who specifically specializes in maps. Her name is Francesca Berald. And she made it into this incredible art piece that like, I want a poster size of it on my wall. But for me, when I open a fantasy book or a book with a fictional map in it, the first thing I check, I check to see if the rivers make sense. And sometimes a lot of the times they do, but sometimes like the rivers don't start in the mountains or they branch the wrong way or they flow the wrong way. And I'm like, unless there is a magical reason as to why this is happening, I'm going to have a problem. And that's just my weird, I don't even know what to call it. Like that is my tick, I guess. I need the map to make sense because again, I feel like there are some rules in the physical world and geography that unless there is something in your fictional world that explains why it doesn't work the way we think it should work, you're going to make someone like me be like, wait, why is this happening? And you're going to lose that suspension of disbelief. So again, I'm like, I want the map to feel real. I want it to look real. I don't want to give you any bumps in your journey to understanding something that's already pretty complex. I want to pave the way as much as I can. So having a map that feels real, that looks real, that has things on it that you're like, oh yeah, that does make sense. Like there should be a city there. Like that's a natural harbor. That's a river delta. That's a crossroad. Of course there's a trade center, blah, blah, blah. That kind of stuff.
I love it so much. Because now you've ruined me.
And then in terms of world building and people talk about like, oh, how do you make this country feel real or this culture or this language? Geography informs all of those things. You know, where a mountain range is or where a river is going to inform a political border. It's going to inform the way people travel and how goods get somewhere. It's going to inform, you know, where wars are fought and like climate and weather patterns and wind. That's all going to inform trade, which then is going to inform where people live. So for me, the easiest step in world building is I need that world first, because then it's almost like I have an infrastructure or like guidelines already of telling me like, this is a border. So what are the two people on either side of it? Are they related? Do they hate each other? What's their history? And like, you just keep asking yourself all these little questions that seem like natural, like, oh, this is a river. Is there a port at the end of this river? Where does this river go? Like, it just makes it easier for me once I have that map.
You'll never look at a fantasy map.
I never will.
Yeah.
Same way again.
I can't remember where I read this, but it was almost like when you're drawing a fantasy map, though, don't be too precious, because the imperfections are going to be the things that are cool. And it's like, oh, I drew this island and it looks too round. It's like, well, why does it look too round? Did something happen here that was magical? Is it a man-made island? And then you're like, oh, cool. So it's not
what is this
level geography.
I feel like I'm getting smarter just sitting here listening to you talk.
I'm telling you, it's amazing.
This is magic.
And of
she's gonna go and like open every fantasy book after this and be like, this is trash.
But of course, at the end of the day, we are again always doing everything we can in service of making the audience believe. So for me, that sometimes means like pulling back on how complex I'm making something or how much information I'm giving, because I don't want to overwhelm you ever. So I'm always trying to separate what I'm interested in, which may not be something a reader needs at that moment.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
I was going to ask if you have a favorite companion before. Do you have a favorite of all of them?
Oh, no. So sort of like choosing between your children, and parents will say, I can't do that. But of course, every parent has their favorite child. It's hard because at least, you know, Corraine is always number one in my head because I relate to her so much and I love her journey. But also Sarasa is so much fun to write. And then so is Erida. Like there's so much similar to Evangeline. Like there's so much
in love there. Erida. I know you're not supposed to, but I love her.
And there, she has some lines where I'm like, you go, girl. But also,
yeah.
Oh, my God, take it down a notch.
Less murdery, but we can like, get them. You
we might
queen.
Have a point, but like,
let's back up.
Yeah.
So kind of along that same vein, we have a segment on our podcast, which we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week.
Ooh.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be a boyfriend. We were just kind of playing off the idea of a book boyfriend.
Okay.
But we basically just pick a character that we have read or we watched that week that we're like, this person.
Mm.
We've said Maven. We've both been Andrea girls.
Andrea is the love of my life this week. So do you have any characters that you're just like, that's the one? That's the one.
Doesn't have to be in your book.
Yeah.
This is where everything you've ever read leaves your brain. And you're like, I don't know.
Well, I'm also reading a lot for research right now. And so it's like nonfiction. So I'm like, oh, can't do that real person. I did admit the other day that one of my favorite fan fictions ever was a Band of Brothers fan fiction. And those are real people. And that's very, very tough to wrap your brain around. The prose book I'm reading right now is Saba Tahir's new book, so I can't really say much of anything.
Yes.
But there are multiple book boyfriend and girlfriends that I am enjoying my time with right now. My husband is currently reading the Queen's Thief series. I got him into it. So I would also have to say, like, I'm watching him read that series for the first time and wishing I could read it again for the first time. True book boyfriend would probably be Eugenides from the Queen's Thief series. And if you haven't read that by Megan Whalen Turner, I will spread
the
gospel.
Second author who has told us that
it's so good. And again, you just listen to my world building spiel. She world builds like nobody's business, but also does it in a way that doesn't overwhelm you. She never gives you more information than you need, and sometimes you're getting the wrong information. It's the best like unreliable narrator series. And then also book 2/3, you're suddenly like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of a slow burn romance. Are you kidding?
Everything I've ever wanted.
I know. And it's good. And it's so cinematic and it escalates in such a cool way. I love books, especially a series where the first book feels so big and the stakes feel so high. And then you get to book like 3 or book 5 and you look back and you're like, how the hell did I ever think that was hard? Like, it feels like the video game leveling up situation.
Yeah.
I love books that do that.
All right. This officially like bumped way up my list.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not the first person who's mentioned it.
Cool. Me. I am so glad you give it my stamp of approval.
The other question that we always ask, and you've kind of answered this, what are you reading and like what would you recommend people read other than your books?
Which okay. Well, I just did my whole recommendation. But probably one of my favorite books of the last 10 years and another series that does the escalation so well and has a fantastic slow burn romance. And just like the atmosphere of the books is so beautifully done. Is the Bear and the Nightingale series by Catherine Arden. It's called the Winter Night series. And she's just had a new book come out called The Warm Hands of Ghosts, which is set in World War I. And I haven't read it yet. And I'm really excited to read it. But I've got all these research books to read. So I'm like, so I would recommend that. I am also reading Air by Saba Tahir right now. So if you were someone who wanted more from Ember in the Ashes, or you want to like jump in because you don't have to have read those ones to get this, she's another one who is like, world building my heart out.
I love it.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's gonna be good.
Before we let you go, because you are going on tour, like,
thank you.
we have to know, like, what are you working on right now? Is there anything you can tease, anything you can talk about, or is it all very, very hush hush because it's just happening?
It's interesting because I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, why is this hush hush? But I guess business-wise, I haven't sold what I'm working on yet. I'm working on a proposal for what would hopefully be my adult debut. And I can say it's like a standalone and it's not second world fantasy. And part of me wanted to say it's more along the lines of like romance, but I have learned that romance needs to have a happy ending. I can't say that.
If it's billed as a romance, then people expect an HEA. So.
Well, it's like, how do you, because I define happy endings in a lot of different ways.
I see.
Are most
everybody
people alive
needs to
at
survive,
the end?
Okay.
Right, everybody, right. Everybody is there one person left alive? That's a happy ending. No, I will not take on
wait.
That fight. That is not for me.
I cannot wait.
That's so
like exciting. I need that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope I can do it justice because it's kind of ambitious the way I want to write it, like the structure that I want to do. And then behind that, I also have a YA duology back to my fantasy roots and a little more like high fantasy, like royal romance betrayals, all my shit.
I love it.
So I'm trying
here
to.
For.
I don't want to work too much on the YA one, even though that one I'm very excited about. I need to focus.
Yeah,
but well, the hope
on the adult one. I want that one too.
Ready? Yeah. We're ready. Get those all kind of outlined and sold, basically the way the publishing works, and then I would have okay, that's my next 5 years of my life sort of structured up.
Yeah.
We kind of jump in 5 year increments for the most part, at least in my experience so far. And I'm at the edge of like, okay, that 5 years is done. Am I going to be employed?
What the next, guys? We got to do something. Indies food's got to come from somewhere, guys.
Yeah. You got and, this.
And I'm launching a book in like 4 days.
I'm so excited for everybody to read it.
So excited. Yeah.
Thank you. And I appreciate you guys reading it. I'm so glad you're liking it.
Oh, I'm loving it. One last thing before we let you go. I need you to kiss Indy and Olive. Is it Olive?
Oh, yes, Olive.
I need you to kiss them for me.
I will. I will give them both big kisses for you.
Thank you.
To those listening, those are dogs.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with them. They're so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Any of our listeners will know once Mandy starts listing names, it's not people, it's dogs.
No, it's dogs.
I know. Indy is potentially coming to my LA event. We'll see if we can make it work.
Oh.
And
my husband's like, Indy meet and greet, advertise it like that and you'll get a lot of people.
Don't threaten me with a flight to LA.
That's like the first, right? March 1st? I can
yes, it is. That's my last of the US events. And then
every time I see like an LA event, I'm like, is it close enough to the weekend that I can take time off and drive down? Because I'm in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, can I make this work? That's a Friday. So
it is. The LA ones are hard too. Traffic is hard.
Yeah.
A lot of them are at like the Grove on a Friday and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. But I'm always like, you know, I think I could make that work. It's fine. It's fine. I'll figure it out.
It goes both ways because there are so many like author events that happen. And I'm like, they're only going to the Bay Area. Excuse me.
Okay. Who are you having? Because I never get people here. I'm always like, why are they in LA? We're here too.
I'm always like,
I'm just going to cry in Georgian. Okay. I'm in Georgia. I don't get, no, I got you once.
Hey, you have some great indies down there. You've got some good book festivals. You are
I
not
do. I know. That's true.
Well, before we finally actually let you go, we do have to give you a disclaimer.
Okay.
Now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I have to go.
We don't make the rules. We just enforce them.
Oh, that's what that fine print was. Got it.
Yes.
Sorry. but no, we absolutely would love to have you back whenever the next thing comes out because we love everything that you've written.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I really appreciate it.
For the next.
Well, thank you guys for being a wonderful, like, technically, I guess this is like my first-ish event of the tour season for me.
I'm excited.
So thank you for being so lovely and welcoming and making this feel easy.
You got this. You got
You're going to kill it on tour.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a blast. It's been a dream.
Everybody go
honestly.
Order. I just have it on my Kindle. Everybody go order Fate Breaker right now.
I have a stack. Oh, wrong way. Right here.
Go do it.
Yay.
By the time this episode comes out, the book will be out in the world. So you can just walk into a store, pick it up. And, well, don't start reading if you haven't read the first two.
Yeah,
but
read
like,
the other two first. Go to your local indie and buy all three.
Buy all three and then start reading immediately.
Yes. Bring a cart. They're heavy.
They are chunky.
They're worth it. Check out the maps. They are excellent, beautiful, and accurate. All right. Thank you so much. We don't want to keep you anymore.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you for doing this on Wednesday for me. I really appreciate
it. Of course. Like I said, 3 a.m. We do it whenever.
Anytime.
No worries. Anytime. And I guess I am obligated to see you again.
Hey, we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, George Bailey.
Say bye, buddy.
Victoria Aviar said your dog's name.
She remembered your name.
She said George Bailey's name.
That makes you practically best friends with Indy.
What just happened?
And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know who Indy is, shame on you.
How dare
go
you.
Follow Victoria and see that beautiful dog. And I think that Olive is like Indy's cousin or aunt or something. She's not Indy's sister. And they're not in the same house, but they're together a lot. And they're both very cute. They're related somehow.
They're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we just talked to Victoria Aviard.
This is a fever dream. This is.
I know. Like, I feel like I'm going to be woken up, and they're going to be like, "No, no author has ever come to talk to you." Sorry.
This is insane, insane, you guys. I feel like at the beginning of Fate Breaker, where everybody was like, "Is this a dream?" Like, that's how I feel. Is this a dream? Is it? It's not. It's real. I pinched myself. It hurt.
I pinched myself and George Bailey was jumping my computer half the time. So if you see me like, if you're on Patreon and you see me like picking my desk moving, it's because I was trying to shut this dog up to stop him from interrupting her. Victoria Aviard is talking. I
truly feel like that was like a masterclass in writing. Like, I feel like
I can go pick
up my book and start knocking it out right now.
If you are in any cities that she is touring to, or if you are ever at a book festival where she is doing panels, go to everyone because she drops these like nuggets of information and knowledge and like tidbits that'll help authors. And they, like I said, this map thing, I never would have thought about looking at a fantasy map. And I'm like, the book that I'm writing takes place in like this world, so I don't need that information right now. That is so good to know. If you like, if I ever wanted to go into like a high fantasy,
right,
where I have to actually build the world, because she's not wrong. The river should make sense. You shouldn't just have a river that starts nowhere.
Right. It just, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, I feel like I learned so much just in the last
and it's like
hour.
That anytime she does like any sort of talk or speech or like anything informational where people can Q&A with her, it is so cool. Like, she will blow your mind and you will learn so much. So it's cool as an aspiring author to listen to her. She's very inspirational.
Yeah. I love that how she writes dialogue heavy scenes, because I never would have thought about that. I never would have thought about that, because she's right. Like, when you're reading, it's broken up into bits and pieces because you have to put in all the actions as well. But that's not how it is in real life. It's not broken up. Right. Like, the actions just happen alongside a conversation. So if you just write out the conversation first and then add in the other pieces, it feels so much more natural. And I never thought of that.
Honestly, it made me feel so seen, because that's what I do. Like, my book right now is like 85% dialogue, and I'm going back now and adding in the plate and, you know, tripped over this.
Yeah.
Or she brushed her hair back from her. Like,
Oh my God.
She makes you want, like, I want to say, after I saw her in Atlanta with Tiffany D. Jackson, I was writing on my phone in the car on the way home, because it was like so inspiring. And you're like, this makes me want to like put metaphorical pen to paper.
Yeah, I literally want to log off and start writing right now. Like, I feel like I have learned so much about the craft just in this past like half hour. Like,
so next, if she's at Y'all West, or if you come to another Y'all Fest and she's here, go sit through as many of her panels as she can. Right. Like, that's why I know I looked like antisocial at Y'all Fest, because I spent so much time in panels. But I love, like, I would rather order a signed copy from an author of a book and hear them, like, speak, even if I can't, like, one-on-one with them.
Right.
Because it's so much learning.
Yeah. It's, oh my God. My mind is, like, blown right now. I have things running through my mind right now. That was amazing. And also, we talked to Victoria Aviar.
I don't believe that.
I still can't wrap my mind around that. Like,
I know. I'm going to look at the selfie right now, because like, if it's on my phone, it's real.
It's there. It's real.
It's there.
Oh my God. You guys. Victoria Aveyard, she's like the level of like I would expect like in like 7, 8, 9 years, we would get her on the podcast. Not in year 3.
Oh, I know. I'm like amazed.
I'm blown away. Like, George Bailey, Victoria Aveyard said your name. What?
I can't believe that.
My brain is melting.
I can't wait until we can announce her so that I can tell the world. Victoria Aveyard said George Bailey's name. She remembered a half an hour later.
Right?
That was so cool.
That's so cool.
And we got a cool announcement to make.
Yeah. Hey, guys, have you heard of Mike Martin?
Mike Martin?
I'm having trouble speaking, clearly.
Mike Martin,
who, a.k.a., is voiced by Joshua Jackson, a.k.a. Pacey from Dawson's Creek. And we're going to get to talk to Mike Martin's mother. Jenny Holliday is coming to the podcast. Yay! We're so excited. We're going to talk about all things Canadian boyfriend. And I'm hoping that we find out why does Rory keep calling him Mike Martin? I need to know. Give us all the details.
We're dying over here. Inquiring minds have to know.
Need to be in the know. There's got to be a reason behind it, and I want to know.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So stay tuned. And now, is it time for a spiel?
It's time for a spiel. What we do next? So I can go take some cough syrup and go into oblivion.
Well, after that very exciting episode, you guys,
I can't believe
if you enjoyed it. I still don't. What? What is life? Anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Please follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes, as well as read our blog. We have many book reviews there, so please enjoy. If you would like to get early access to episodes, video episodes, some early announcements, bonus content, all the goodies and behind-the-scenes stuff, head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to subscribe, and you can be one of the cool kids.
I was going to start trying to sing the song. Cool kids. What is wrong with me? Don't I dare.
Your brain is.
Don't I dare.
If you would like to do some shopping and support the podcast, you can head over to our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. There's lots of really cute designs that beautiful woman over here designed. She's amazing. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all
we
of that.
We'll especially take that this week when neither of us feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're right up against Victoria freaking Aveyard, one of the most beautiful people in the world. Yeah.
I know. It's so unfair.
Absolutely accept any and all compliments this week.
Send us your compliments. We need them.
Please. We need an ego boost, Tinkerbell. Okay? And then one final way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. We're not listening to you.
Well, I mean, we'll listen to you if you email us, but
yeah.
We're not listening to you right this second.
No, we're listening to each other.
Yeah.
Please rate and review.
It'd be weird if we weren't.
We would love to have your words. Please share.
Yeah, give us your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some self-care and visit our internet besties, do some shopping, starting with herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to want to head over to Once Upon a Book Club. They're one of our favorite subscription boxes. We have two codes you can use. You can pick one. They don't stack, but if you pick one, we love you no matter what. You can use code Karen10 or Mandy10 and get 10% off. But just remember, you gotta spell Karen right or otherwise, getting anything off.
You will get 0% off.
0%.
And disapproving looks from the both of us. Mm-hmm. And once you have done that,
looks. She'll give you a mom look and I'll give you an aunt look. Like you wouldn't believe.
We have perfected it over the years. Yeah. We have done it for
teenagers.
So
you know that TikTok sound? You think I'm afraid? Do you see my handshake? I live with two teenagers. I'm not afraid of you. I'll give you the stern aunt look.
Facts.
Spell her name wrong. Try me. I sound really menacing.
You do, because you are just a very menacing person in general. And after you have not garnered our wrath for misspelling my name, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com and get some tea and goodies and get cozy. Use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off. And remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
Then, of course, we're getting closer and closer to more news from Amber D. Lewis for everybody. You're going to want to go to amberdlewis.com, sign up for her newsletter so that you're the first to know announcements. Join her Patreon so that you're the first, even before the newsletter, to learn about cool things and get extra art and goodies. And if you use code FANGIRL10 in her shop when you're buying 2 to 3 of everything, you'll get 10% off your purchase. So just FANGIRL10, go support our girl, Amber D. Lewis, amberdlewis.com.
And once you have finished supporting our internet besties, I think it's time to go and support the show husband. We are quite fond of him here.
I'm a little partial to him, I guess. I called him, or he called me yesterday, and one of the guys, they're out filming with Searchers right now, and one of the guys thought I was a ghost in their footage. He was like, wait, that's your wife? She sounds like death.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, guys. This is great. So yeah, you're going to want to, once you finish listening to this episode, go listen to the latest episode of The Paranormal Mind. Their episodes release the same day as ours. You can join their Patreon as well and get the same behind the scenes exclusive content. And they do a monthly giveaway for a ghost hunting device of some sort, an SLS. Don't know what that stands for, but it's cool and they're really cool. They're like custom made. You go to searchersbelieve.com and use code FANGIRL10 in their merch shop. You'll get 10% off. All of their merch was also designed by yours truly. So I can vouch for how cool their merch is. And then go follow them on all the things. Searchers Believe, The Paranormal Mind.
We like them here.
There's lots of content coming from them. He'll have been gone a week filming. Aww. They've been to 3 different locations. So keep an eye out, folks.
And that was a very freaking exciting episode.
An exciting episode of the Incoherent Fangirl.
Thanks for listening.
We love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.